Greetings and well met, adventurers. Welcome to the crossroads between ominous planescapes and monstrous menaces, where fiction is made reality and is equally fantastic. This is Dungeon Delvers, the show that explores the many facets to one of entertainment's most popular forms, gaming. The time is 11:36 a.m. on Wednesday, March 22nd, 2017. I'm your host and part-time Dungeon Master, Hannah Ward. Today's guest is tabletop enthusiast, Wesley Rodriguez. He often frequents the few game stores around the valley and enjoys Warhammer 40K, War Machine, Infinity, Dungeons & Dragons, etc., etc. Thank you for joining us today, Wesley. I appreciate having you on.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
All right. So let's get started. When did your interest in gaming start?
I'd say it started right around when I first started up college, I'd say. It was around like 2010, and one of my friends that I knew for a while said, "Hey, have you ever been to a Dungeons & Dragons game?" I was like, "No. Would you like to join me?" "Sure." And then just kind of spiraled down from there, I guess.
I can really agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that's how most start, to be honest. It's not like you ever get a real introduction. It's just like, "Hey, have you ever done this before? Want to try it?" It's
right.
Mostly by someone who's already into it.
Pretty much, yeah. Most of my friends pretty much started up when they were in college, too. There's a few that were introduced to it by, you know, their parents or, you know, like family or friends or relatives or something. And, you know, they were doing it since way before. But, yeah, most of the time it's started up in college and then just decided, hey, we just kind of like this thing.
Yeah, that's actually how I got started. Like, my dad played Dungeons & Dragons when he was a kid.
Oh,
and
man.
Then I
okay.
actually recently found all of his stuff. He's like, "Don't touch it." And I did. And he's like, "No." But before that, like, I know, was it your interest in tabletop gaming that started in college? Or was it, like, have you gamed before that? Like, video games or board games?
I mean, I've been doing, like, a lot of, like, video games since I was a kid, mostly on my old Windows 95. This was, you know, back in the days of, like, Lego Island, like, Age of Empires, that sort of thing. And then I only got, like, a very proper introduction to tabletop gaming when I was in college. I mean, I had, like, a couple attempts in, like, middle school when one of my friends was like, "Hey, you want to play this game?" But then at the time, I wasn't making any money, so it was kind of expensive for me, so I had to drop it. But then it came back to me, you know, my first and second year. That's when I started to really get back into the hobby again.
Cool. So what would you say your favorite tabletop game is, and would you have any reason why?
By far, it would be Warhammer 40K. And there's a couple reasons why I like it. First off, you know, just like being able to just, you know, sit down and do something, you know, kind of creative. Basically the game pieces are all these plastic miniatures that you have to cut out of sprues, and then you have to, you know, put them together with glue, and then you paint them. And I think that's one of the more rewarding aspects of the hobby, is just being able to, you know, sit down and paint all your troops in, like, all the different colors, you know, that you want. And then second, it's, you know, the entire universe, I guess, that it creates. Because Warhammer 40,000, or 40K for short, is basically this vast universe that's in the far-flung future. Mankind is sort of beset on all sides by any number of aliens and heretics and witches and demons from the warp. Basically a galactic version of hell. That's pretty much what it is. It's just this, you know, this great, you know, other dimension, where all these, like, horrible eldritch monstrosities come out and are trying to, you know, destroy humanity from within. And so, you know, that's what I really like about it. It's the, you know, just the whole, setting of, like near despair and hopelessness. And yet, humanity is still trying to fight on for every single little inch that they have to give up.
All right. That sounds really cool. I mean, I've heard about Warhammer before, but and I know that how exactly do you really play Warhammer? Do you is it something that you can do in your house, or is it like a, would you say it's more like a convention style where you go to stores and they host it?
Well, it's both. It's both, actually. So, yeah, you're more than welcome to, you know, freestyle it. So you can go to your house or somebody else's house, and then we can, you know, set up a table with like terrain using like books or, you know, flower pots, whatever is terrain. Or you can go over to, you know, any game store that has the space and tables for it. In fact, like, best resource I would say right now for 40K is being able to go over to the Warhammer store that's on, I think it's like,
it's Van Noen.
Yeah, right? Van Noen and Corbin. Yeah.
Corbin? All right. So, and it sounds, when you were describing it, it sounds more, I've heard there are kind of two parts to Warhammer, or two types. Mm-hmm. One is more high fantasy and one's dark fantasy? Are they both dark fantasy?
I mean, it's both dark fantasy. There's 40K, and then there's also Warhammer Fantasy Battle, which has now been turned into Age of Sigmar. And, you know, it's both a lot of, like, you know, fantasy stuff, but 40K is more, has, like, a lot of infusion of sci-fi into it as well.
Well, yeah, so it'd be, like, science fiction fantasy. Mm-hmm. Like, the same way that Star Wars is.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit like Star Wars and Star Trek and also a bit of, like, Lord of the Rings in there. Just all kind of put into a blender and then just, like, drowned in blood and, like, turned up to 11, essentially.
That sounds like my kind of game.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So do you participate in any other war games besides Warhammer?
Yeah, there's a couple of other games that I've played before. So there's also War Machine, kind of similar to 40K in the premise, but in different in how it's played. You know, so whereas Warhammer 40K, it's more focused on like the huge titanic battles, like involving like, hundreds of soldiers and miniatures and stuff. War Machine is more about having like a smaller squad of soldiers with like steampunk robots and like sorcerers and stuff.
Oh man, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, yeah. That one's also a really, really fun game too. There's that. There's also Infinity by Corvus Belli. That's really important to remember, by the way, because there's a couple of different Infinities running around now.
Like the Disney Infinity.
Yeah.
But that's like a video game and it has like, but it also has miniatures, so I guess it could be confused.
Right. Yeah. So sometimes it's a little hard to come up on information on that, but yeah, so there's like Infinity by Disney, there's Infinity for Marvel's Avengers or something. Yeah. But Corvus Belli Infinity is, you know, that takes place like 175 years into the future. You know, mankind is only just starting to explore the galaxy using wormholes and has like a lot more, I guess you could call it, it's a little bit more grounded in reality, in which there's stuff like, you know, they do have like power armored suits, but there's also weak points that you can also shoot at. So even the common soldier with a rifle can still take down a heavy looking dude.
Reminds me of Starship Troopers.
A little bit like Starship Troopers there. Wait, the book or the movie?
Both.
Okay, yeah, it's a little bit of both there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever read Starship Troopers?
I actually did, yeah.
Yeah, Robert A. Heinlein is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Stranger in a Strange Land is one of my favorites.
Okay, I've yet to read any of his other works. I actually found myself like actually liking both genres. Yeah. Like both the film for what it is, like being like a parody of like an authoritarian militaristic society, and also the book where the trope is like played straight, where there's actually given reasons as to why society is structured the way it is, and like instead of having like a bunch of like disposable meat shields, you have like a bunch of like, you know, super, you know, heavy powered armored dudes and stuff.
Yeah. So what might a basic setup look like for a beginner session for Warhammer?
So Warhammer, if you're just starting it out, you'd basically get like a starter box, you know, like start collecting box, and it gives you like one leader guy or HQ unit, and then maybe one or two troops, and then maybe a transport. And then it would be around, 500 points or so, because each of the miniatures, they cost, you know, a certain amount of points to put onto the field, and both you and your opponent will agree on how many points you want to play. And so you'll start off at like 500 points is kind of a small scale game. And then that will be enough to learn the basics of, you know, how to play, how to use your miniatures, all the special rules that come with it.
Does each miniature have different rule sets or skill sets?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So take Space Marines, for example. So Space Marines, the basic troop choice, they'll have like a bunch of like, you know, what are called bolters or bolt guns. And, you know, and they'll only have like one or two rules, you know. So one will be like, and they shall know no fear, which is universal to all Space Marines. And like, you know, that basically allows them to retake morale tests when they're falling back. And then there's also like combat squads where they can like split up into two different groups. And then your HQ unit will have a little bit more, like, you know, he won't have to take morale tests or leadership tests at all. You know, he'll only just be like the one guy, and like he'll have like better stats, like as opposed to like the rank and file guys.
Are there any like common strategies used when playing in a, like when in a session?
Not really. I mean, for a game like 40K, there's a bunch of, you know, diverse strategies that you can take, and it really depends on how you build up your army, right?
Yeah.
So Imperial Guard, for instance, like basically just like a bunch of, you know, rank and file, just like, you know, men and women who are just given like a flak jacket, a las gun, and that's pretty much it. So you can either, you know, they're more analogous, I guess, to today's like, you know, militaries. So basically you can either do like human waves. So basically have like, a you know, hundreds upon hundreds of guys just, you know, charging at the enemy and just sort of like drown them in bodies. Or you can, you know, have like a, you know, heavy arm approach. So just have like a bunch of tanks, and just drown them in like a bunch of like tank shells and stuff instead. Or you can have like artillery, or you can have like a bunch of flyers come in and do like an alpha strike. So put all your gut dudes in like, you know, strategic positions around the enemy and just like start shooting at them with missiles and stuff.
I'm guessing stealth isn't really used in
Warhammer. It can be. But the stealth elements in there is, how do I put this? It's not quite as,
not stealth as we know it, I would suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Like you'd find stealth more in like other games. Like Infinity has like a lot of good mechanics for having like stealthy, you know, soldiers. But not so much like with 40K, but it can still be done to a certain extent. But yeah, so yeah, there's like all these different kinds of builds that you can do with each and every army. And every army is going to be different in how they approach warfare.
I mean, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, Well, to be honest, I only know of a handful of war games, so, and I know some are historical, some are futuristic, like Warhammer is.
Mm-hmm.
So, Right. Do you know of any that are more historical, I guess, for, you know, I guess the history enthusiast, the history buff?
Yeah, yeah. There is a couple of popular ones out right now. So, there's Flames of War, that takes place, Flames of War and Bolt Action, both take place during World War II. I think Flames of War also has one for Vietnam, if I'm not mistaken. And then Bolt Action has a standalone game for like World War I for trench warfare. But yeah, both those are also like historical games. Those are the only ones I know about. I know that there's like a bunch more that, you know, take place like during the Napoleonic Wars or during the American Civil War or pretty much any kind of, you know, historical era where there is a lot of conflict. There's almost certainly going to be a tabletop game for that, and if not for the for the actual miniatures, then maybe it'll just be a game like full of like little like cardboard counters or something to represent all your troops and units and such.
Yeah, like that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that is, I guess, universal to these games? That's the same.
Universal. I mean,
I guess the use of a map would probably be that.
Yeah, yeah. Use of a map, sure. Having rules for how to move around all your troops. You know, how to represent like what they're doing, like how to represent like a, you know, an artillery cannon versus you know, a flying unit versus just a regular infantry guy versus like an elite guy, you know. But I mean, they're all like very varied, both in the concept and the setting, and all as well as like in the models and like all the special rules and stuff. I can't really think of anything that's, you know, really universal about it, other than just it's just really fun to do.
I guess that's all anyone really needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's another really big, you know, reason why, you know, I play this is because, well, it's really fun to do. And it's really fun to do with a lot of different people. You meet new, you know, people, and you get to know them through this, you know, through the medium of these games. And you just kind of have fun with it, really.
Yeah. So I guess going back to, I guess, the supplies that are used, you would get it from, like, a store like Warhammer.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there are also places online you could get them.
Yeah.
Is there anything besides the miniatures? Can you get them? I mean, I obviously know that they would have to be produced by the people that make Warhammer.
Right.
But can you get, like, paint from anywhere and different books from anywhere? Or would they have to be, like, connected? Because I know that... Is it possible to homebrew things for Warhammer?
Yeah, I mean, you can homebrew, you know, like, make your own rules and, like, your own, you know, stuff for it. I mean, and you are more than welcome to use any kind of paint that you're familiar with or you can find or you're favoring towards. So if you don't necessarily like the paints that, you know, Games Workshop or Privateer Press you know, has to offer, there's others. I mean, you can go to pretty much any hobby store and just, like, get a bunch of paints that you would need to paint all your stuff. I mean, and then as for getting different miniatures, different companies have different policies on what they say. Like, for example, I think, like, Games Workshop had a thing where, like, they used to have a thing where you could use different parts to, you know, differentiate your troops from someone else's. But they had, like, you know, within like 50% or something. Now it's just like you have to use the actual model and like any like Games Workshop bits. But I mean, if you're playing at home, yeah, you can totally use like whatever you want. I know like back in the early days, if somebody wanted to get Death Dread, I think it was called, you can basically just get a soda can and just stick a bunch of, like, legs onto it and say, okay, there's my Death Dread.
Oh, my God.
He's got, like, saws and, like, machine guns on there and stuff like that. And no, it's not Coca-Cola.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I mean, it really depends. If you're at home, oh, yeah, you can just, like, use whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, there's, I guess when you put it that way, there's really no set way to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I remember you said you played Dungeons & Dragons as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite edition?
As of right now, I've played only a couple of editions. I've played 3.5, 4.0, and 5.0. I think 3.5, I think, I prefer for, like, all the mechanics.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, because it's not quite as mainstream... streamlined as, like, 5.0 is. 5.0 is super streamlined. Everything is, like, very oversimplistic, I feel. Whereas 3.5... it's somewhat streamlined, so it's not quite as clunky as, like, say, 2.0. That was, like, the really, really, really old edition.
Yeah,
like,
back the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the one.
I remember that. I used to play that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I couldn't calculate Thaco, so I couldn't...
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah,
no, that's the worst.
I know, exactly. That's why I stopped playing.
Yeah, that's terrible. But, I mean, not to say that it's a bad game. It's just
really... complicated.
Oh, God, yeah. It's super complex. Yeah. Yeah, so it's not quite as complex as, you know, determining Thaco or 2.0 or any of that stuff. I feel like 3.5, it has sort of achieved, like, just the right amount of balance in terms of complexity and simplicity. At least, in my opinion, it has. Or if you don't like, you know, if you don't want to do, you know, Dungeons & Dragons per se, you could also do Pathfinder, which is also very similar to 3.5.
Yeah. I believe the Pathfinder and Shadowrun are, like, the next two most popular after Dungeons & Dragons, but I could also be wrong, because I've also heard Vampire the Masquerade is...
Oh, yeah, that's a really big, like, cult classic.
Yeah.
I've I played Vampire the Masquerade, and then I've also played one of the spin-off games, Hunter the Reckoning.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
Right. So, Vampire the Masquerade, Hunter the Reckoning are all part of the World of Darkness setting by White Wolf Studios. And that is... whereas in D&D, it's more like high fantasy, yeah. You know, so you can play as a human or an elf or a half-orc or a dwarf or anything sort of thing, and you're doing, like, high adventure, and, you know, you're going off to, like, different fantastical settings and stuff. World of Darkness is more set in, like, today's society, or specifically in, like, the setting of 1995, and, like, different, like, cities of the world. And... everything that you think is terrible or bad is always confirmed and or like made worse. So mega corporations that are, you know, polluting the environment, yeah, there's like one mega one and they're for sure like dumping a lot of like toxic waste into the rivers and stuff. And in that, and but more importantly, you're seeing like all the classic horror monsters where you play as them. So you can play a vampire in Vampire the Masquerade, or werewolf and Werewolf the Apocalypse, or mage in Mage the Ascension, and so on and so forth. And so that sort of talks about different values of morality. So because you're a vampire, obviously you have to feed on humans, on their blood. And so, you know, you kind of have to think, well, you know, would a vampire necessarily be evil? Well, no, not really. I mean, because... he's just doing just what his, you know, unnatural state is, you know, forcing him to do. But he's not necessarily good either because, well, you know, that sort of thing.
Survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's very much – that's more steeped in, you know, survival of the fittest, like a lot of like politics and intrigue and a lot more like morality stuff, I feel like.
Lots of political intrigue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Now, it's funny that you mentioned, like, all these games. I was just wondering, have you ever played Mouse Guard?
No, this is the first I've heard of it. What is it?
It's basically Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, the best way I could describe it is, like, Dungeons and Dragons, except you play as, like, mice.
Oh, okay. So you're a little mouse, but you're also a mouse, like, fighter or a mouse wizard.
Yep.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I have one of the... books. I think it's like the second edition.
Uh-huh.
And I've always wanted to play it. It's just, it looks so cool. The art's really good. And they ended up doing a little comic or a graphic novel for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice.
Nice.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's definitely high fantasy, but you know, no one around here really plays that much.
Okay.
Mouse Guard. So I was just wondering if you ever heard of it.
No, but I'm kind of intrigued right now. So I have to ask, in that game, is fighting a cat like trying to fight a dragon in D&D? Like, is it like this like giant horrible creature that like kills you one hit, or is it something else?
You know, I've never actually fought a cat.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're kind, at least in all the ones that, at least when I've played it, mm-hmm. and it was like one session, mm-hmm. because like no one even really does it.
Oh, okay.
So when I played, it was, everything was just, it's hard to describe. It was a whole another experience in and of itself.
Okay, all right. But yeah, like there's also like other like spin-off stuff. So there's this one. You know, it's funny that you bring that up, the Mouse Guard thing, just because like it's different than like all the other stuff. Because there's a bunch of like different, you know, role playing games I've yet to try out. So there is one that I've played before. I've actually DM'd for, called Valley of Eternity, and you play as penguins in Antarctica. Okay, the premise sounds really strange, but it's actually really...
I don't
really
know, no stranger than Mouse Guard.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Anyways, yeah, you play as a bunch of penguins roaming around the frozen wastelands of Antarctica and trying to deal with issues of morality as well, and, like, philosophy, and just trying to survive in this harsh, harsh environment that is the Antarctica.
To be honest, it sounds like a fantasy version of Happy Feet.
it's basically Happy Feet, just in fantasy. Yeah. Also, a lot more penguins die.
And they don't dance.
No, they don't. I mean, some
you
do.
You could, but...
You could, yeah. So, yeah.
I guess that would be one of your funny stories, playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you have any preferred monster to fight in combat? Because I've always wanted to visit the Underdark,
mm-hmm.
or at least I did, and just to fight a Beholder. And when that actually happened, it turned out to be less successful than I'd hoped. And the party and I made out by the skin of our teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next session, I ended up getting eaten by a dragon.
Oh, wow.
So only to survive that just to die.
Nice. Well, let's see. In Hunters of the Reckoning, I've yet to fight a werewolf. I'm pretty sure that would just murder me in like one or two turns, so I want to see how that goes.
Yeah. Well, all right. Looks like we're running out of time. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, I think I'm pretty good, I guess. So just other than say, you know, thanks for having me on your, you know, wonderful show and everything.
All right. There you have it, adventurers. Thank you so much for your time, Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you everyone for tuning in. Join me next week for another episode of Dungeon Delvers. For KPCRadio.com, I'm Hannah Ward, signing out.